I'm the AMARC coordinator for Europe. I'm officially called a Secretary General, but that's a very formal title. Let me say a few words about the situation in Europe, which is extremely complicated, highly fragmented field, differentiated among countries. I'm going to try and take a look at what's happening in the different countries. But what I'd like to do first and foremost is highlight the huge dichotomy that exists between progress made in Europe with a view to recognizing community radio and the community radio community, in starting in 2008 with a resolution of the European Parliament, a resolution of the Council of Europe in 2009, on one hand, and on the other hand, the situation in the field. There is indeed growing recognition of association or NGO media as a genuine sector within the media spectrum these days. In fact, the situation on the ground in the field is highly differentiated. There are EU member states that do not recognize the existence of this sector with appropriate legislation. This is, we're in French-speaking region, but if you go to Dutch or German-speaking Belgium, there is no formal legislation recognizing the scope or competences or limits of community radios. The same is true in Finland. No definition, no legislation. In Spain, there is the same issue. The same issue is prevalent. In Sweden, there is a mixture of radio categories. Some commercial radios have access to to community radio bandwidth and frequencies, which leads to a commodification of radio broadcasting. In Hungary, a textbook case. Although there is official recognition of association media, community radios are facing such a difficult situation that they are in fact disappearing. I'll say a few words about their situation in greater detail later. And the situation has been changing and evolving very quickly in Hungary. For many years, Hungary was the only former Eastern European country to have transitioned to a democratic framework for radio broadcasting. So the situation there is especially concerning because of this. I mentioned issues in Spain, in Asturias. Community radios are exposed to fines of up to 500,000 euros if they install antennae on the roofs of buildings. I said a few words about the commodification of frequencies, the lack of legislation in Flanders or in Finland. In the German state of Saxony, the government promised to help community radios transition to digital media, to web broadcasting, but they're at the same time forcing them to shut down their transmitters, traditional transmitters. In Barcelona, one community radio was forcibly closed 2 weeks ago. So on the one hand, we're talking about pluralism, recognition, European Parliament, the Council of Europe. And we're talking also about a very important role for regulators, but apparently the situation in practice isn't quite as rosy as it seems. Another thing we demand as AMARC is about the need to bridge the gap between EU legislation on one hand and field practice on the other hand. There are a great many countries where community radios are not recognized for what they are. In other words, they have to apply for commercial radio licenses and then act as community radios. That's the case in Romania, for instance. Our Austrian colleagues have been operating for quite a long time as community radios without enjoying a status. They had to file a complaint with the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg to win their case, and now there is in Austria a network of community radios that's equipped with financial and other resources to support them. There are other good examples in France, for instance, with where there is a fund supporting the existence of community radios, which is a beacon in the dark as far as Europe is concerned. In Ireland, and we have a representative of the Irish Broadcasting Authority there, which supported the European AMARC conference in Dublin in 2011. There are support funds in the French-speaking part of Belgium and in Austria, but as I said, the situation at present in Europe is still extremely differentiated. Countries such as Poland are investigating the issue and organizing public hearings on what a future broadcasting law should include, but there are still countries where nothing is being done. I mentioned the enforced closure of a radio. In fact, there were two radios were closed in Greece back in April. I have two short video sequences, 2 or 3 minutes each. This is footage from the live shutdown of a radio, the enforced closure of a radio. The first one is happened in Italy in 2001 during the G8 summit. Back in 2001, Italian community radios had set up a network to cover the Genova summit, G8 summit, setting up the GAP, Global Audio Project network, involving 8 local community radios that were broadcasting over the internet jointly over the 8 communities that they covered. You probably remember that back in 2001, community radios were accused of disinforming and misinforming about a number of legal cases about community radios, when in fact the misinformation was being broadcast by public or commercial broadcasting and media interests. You're probably not going to understand all the words, but I'd like to give you an example of what happens when a radio is closed.
Un poliziotto sbucare, non sappiamo di che cosa si tratta, ve lo comunichiamo. E la polizia, si sta arrivando la polizia?
Sta arrivando.
Qua dentro?
È dentro al cortile.
Abbiamo chiamato Agnoletto?
Abbiamo
chiamato Agnoletto, l'hai chiamato tu personalmente? Ah, per cortesia chiama Agnoletto personalmente, già chiamato. E Cristina, Simonetta l'avete chiamata?
Simonetta,
chiunque l'ascolto chiami i parlamentari.
Gli avvocati sono già stati contattati, sì, i parlamentari, qualcuno chiami i parlamentari.
This was broadcast live. Live on at 11 p.m. on the 21st of July
Sono qui dentro, sono nel cortile, non sappiamo quello che succederà. Cerchiamo di fare qualcosa, di non mantenere, di non perdere il controllo. Stanno assaltando il Media Center di via Cesare Battisti qui a Genova. Stanno cercando di sfondare, amici ascoltatori, stanno cercando di sfondare la porta nella quale ci siamo barricati, non so. Daniela, al microfono, per favore.
So the authorities are forcing entry.
Ma anche se è difficilissimo, la porta per il momento rimane chiusa.
È ancora ferma.
A sarà aperta, ragazzi, è un momento veramente difficile. Ecco, sentiamo anche i rumori, non
no,
so
non
se...
siamo isolati con i telefoni.
Non siamo isolati, bene, cerchiamo di telefonare e di comunicare,
ragazzi,
con l'esterno.
Ragazzi, diffondete la notizia.
A tutti gli amici ascoltatori, stanno sfondando Radio Gap.
Diffondete la radio dappertutto. Su, calma, non ci devono fare niente, non abbiamo fatto nulla. Stiamo semplicemente facendo informazione, abbiamo continuato a farla. Continueremo a denunciare quello che sta facendo questo Stato criminale.
Eccoli,
e
sono
questa
entrati,
polizia fascista
sono
che è entrata
poliziotti
nella
radio.
Sede di una radio. Manganello in mano,
cazzo, ci sono mossa.
In questo momento fanno
la repressione
di
in diretta
di
su Radio Gap.
Back then I was in Genova with my radio friends. So how do you fill in the gap or bridge the gap between EU legislation and radios in the field? I do believe that the transition to digital media will represent an opportunity, because wavelengths and frequencies over the FM are saturated. In Rome, if you want to open a new radio in Italy, you have to buy a frequency. So it's not so much that you have to apply for a license and for the right to use the frequency, you have to buy the frequency. I met with a frequency merchant, he said that, a frequency vendor, he said that it would be, it would cost €1.5 million to have a frequency in Rome. You can rent a wavelength or a frequency for half an hour or an hour a day. You can buy a frequency in the Alps for 40,000 euros, but that's horrendous. I mean, it's a scandal. And I think that the transition to digital media could provide an opportunity to ensure that community radio broadcasting can be recognized as a bona fide sector at European level, even though it is quite diverse. Hugely diverse. Italian radios are different compared to French and Irish radios, and even there are even substantial differences among Italian community radios. And it is in that context that the transition to digital broadcasting may provide an opportunity to redefine the limits of the freedom of speech on the one hand and the management of a public good on the other. And also of the articulation between management of a public tool and the and exercising a fundamental right, that is the right to communicate, the freedom of speech. And it's it's a circle that's not going to be easily squared. It is a challenge, especially if we consider that the transition to digital media should improve the scope for pluralism, for cultural and other forms of diversity, and to further promote social cohesion, to further defend minority languages, these being the original cornerstones of community broadcasting in Europe. I would like to point you to a very interesting survey conducted by the National Union of Community Radios in France, conducted in 2010, taking stock of community radio broadcasting within the broader context of radio broadcasting. Back in 2010, community radios employed 2,100 people. That's 40% of radio broadcasting jobs in France. And community radios represented 62 million euros in turnover, which is, of course, peanuts compared to the large national networks, accounting for 418 million euros back then. But still, an interesting amount, heralding a sustainable sector and one that should qualify for a number of rights. We're not shooting for the moon. All we are asking for is access to frequencies, access on an equal footing with other stakeholders. We don't understand why energy, for instance, should qualify for 5 kilowatts and my association radio should only have access to 25 watts. If we're economically viable, why not qualify for the same transmitter power levels? We want support schemes to be adopted because we are not-for-profit organizations. And so we're not commercially inspired. So we think we should qualify for a number of derogations. And we also think we need support. We want independent regulatory authorities to be in place, which is not the case at present in all EU countries. And that is the reason why we want to stand on the side of regulators, because we do believe that independent regulators could become fair referees, fair umpires in this fight for frequencies in which there's considerable competition between different broadcasters and users of frequencies, including for mobile telephony, not just radio. So clearly there are key and major stakes that we want to fight for. In conclusion, when we talk about radio going digital, there are very interesting discussions about DAB+, DRM+, etc. The position of our association, let's be clear about this, is that we are practical, we're pragmatists. We don't believe that there's one single broadcasting standard that should be used by everybody because it's a miracle solution. We do believe that the only yardstick for defining the right broadcasting format is the best possible use of existing frequencies. In urban areas, DAB Plus is probably the best idea. DRM Plus is likely to be the best proposition in more rural or remote areas, but it shouldn't be either or. And we will never defend a single technology to the detriment of others. We believe that the issue is political, the issue is access to frequencies, is access to public good, and striking a balance between public good and access to a fundamental right that is freedom of speech.